Women's Wellness, and I'm opening up the work session on House Bill 2687. Andy, yeah, there you are.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 2687 is a bill that would require health benefit plans to provide coverage for services rendered by professional counselors or marriage and family therapists acting within the scope of their practices. There are three different amendments. The one that just arrived in your desk for members, and which I will put back there, are the -3 amendments. There is also a -1 amendment and a -2 amendment, which are already available in the back and should be on the members' desks.
Jim Buckley, can you come up? You all have the -3 amendments, the ones we just got.
Page 1, line 13. Okay.
Twos are gone.
Mm-hmm. Representative, would you walk us through the -1 amendment?
Yes, I would. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Representative Peter Buckley, District 5, South Jackson County. Thank you for your time and consideration today. The -1 amendment basically is a consumer protection piece recommended by my constituent, Mary Lou Brophy, who is here today as well. Mary Lou is a licensed counselor who has been practicing here in our state and was quite appalled by seeing advertisements in our local newspapers for people offering counseling services, not licensed, not regulated, and kind of delving into the field in a way that that she found to be quite dangerous, actually. So at her request, this part of the bill was drafted. It was intended to be part of the original bill, but just in terms of timing and place of counsel's work, we had to do it as an amendment. And if you want to look it through, it basically is section 4 on page 2, 7A, adds a provision to add in one or more persons perform investigations and aid in enforcement of licensing. Section 5, 2A on page 3, makes the statement that a person who's not licensed may not, for the purpose of promoting or advertising mental health services offered to the public by the person, use the title or any part of the title, licensed professional counselor or licensed marriage and family therapist. And on the last page, page 4, it has an exemption for a registered or licensed clinical social worker or licensed psychologist, so that those words are allowable to be used, of course, by those professionals.
Okay, thank you.
A question I have is on page 2, very bottom, is about the physical associated with employing one or more persons.
Representative, are you referring to the amendment or to the bill?
To the -1. And then I'm assuming that that is absorbed by the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists.
That's, Madam Chair.
Paid for by their licensing fees.
Madam Chair, that's my understanding.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the -1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you speak to page... Good morning, Representative Buckley. Thank
good
you
morning.
For being here. Page 2, line 19, just the issue around the civil penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Do they currently not have any investigative employees? I don't know, just we're increasing the penalty, but it makes me think, how are they investigating the penalties now if they don't have any staff?
Madam Chair, Representative Kotek, from my understanding, there is not aggressive investigatory practice through the board right now. They don't have the resources. One of the ideas behind raising the fee to this level would be if they could provide those resources to do investigations. And it is a complaint-driven process.
Thank you.
Marcus Berglund, is he here? Could you come forward, Marcus? Do you have anything to add to this about the -1 amendments?
And the dash one amendments, I'm sorry, I was just...
This one is the consumer protection fees in the bill.
Just that I think it's in the best interest of the citizens of Oregon to have that in place. I think the main concern would be that people who have been practicing that might have training that would need to be grandfathered in, that there'd be some element of that taken into consideration. But I think ultimately there is no drawback whatsoever for having some kind of amendment in place that requires licensure and regulation for the state as those licensed presently are.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So that raises questions for me. Page 4, where it talks about, I think, is that the grandfathering there with the 1991? The prohibition won't apply for folks whose licenses were issued prior to October 91. And that would be fine with me. I'm just wondering, October 91, is that important part in time?
Yes, the state licensure for licensed marriage and family therapists, that's when the law became.
That started?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions of either of these? All right, thank you. And so then we will move on. As I understand from John, where's John? Okay, would you like to come? Why don't you just stay right there?
All right.
Peter and Mr. Burton. Okay.
So she'll be talking about.
Could you talk about the dash? Well,
I'll try.
Dash. You prefer the dash 3 over the dash 2s, is that correct?
Right, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Betsy Earls representing Kaiser Permanente.
Okay. So talk to us about the dash. Do you have the dash 3s in front of you?
I just got them. So, yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Kaiser Permanente is not necessarily opposed to 2687, but we had a few technical concerns with the bill. One of them has to do with Medicare billing and payment, and another one has to do with Kaiser's use of, for lack of a better word, closed panels in order to manage costs. So 2687, the dash 3s, I believe, take care of both of our sort of technical problems with the bill without changing any of the intent that the licensed professional counselors have in terms of payment for their services.
And could you walk us through this? With line, it's well, page one. Line, do you have the bill in front of you?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Can you give her a copy?
Could you please?
We have one here.
Okay.
We're in line 13.
Yeah, so we're going to, sorry.
After and, delete the rest of the line.
Yeah, okay. So, Madam Chair, all this does is make the provisions of 2687 subject to the requirements in the mental health parity law that you passed last session that insurance carriers be able to regulate and manage their panels in the same way that they do for all other professions.
Betsy, define for the committee what you mean by panel.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm not very organized this morning. A panel is, for example, if you're a member of Blue Cross Blue Shield and you have a list of preferred providers and non-preferred providers and then non-contracted or, you know, everybody else. A preferred provider is part of what the insurance industry calls a panel, where they've contracted with those providers and they will, the provider gives the insurance company a better rate and the insurance company charges you as a member less of a copay or less of a, you know, bill charges amount to go to those providers. So that's a panel. And, you know, another panel would be, you know, a less preferred provider or whatever they call them, I guess, where you pay a little bit more but still not as much as the whole bill charge would be. So those groups of contracted providers are panels. And Kaiser, as you know, has somewhat of a closed system in which all of the Kaiser members go to Kaiser Permanente doctors. And that's one way that we are able to control costs because Health Plan works very closely with Northwest Permanente, which is the doctors, in order to make decisions that are in the best interest of the health plan and costs and the patient. So this would allow us to keep sending our members only to our panels.
Thank you, Bethany. Let's see, Representative Cowan and then Representative Maurer. Did you have your hand up?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I suspect that Representative Buckley is preparing to answer the question that I'm about to ask.
I'm working on it.
Because he got to the ORSs first, so if he wants to wait. What I'm looking for is some explanation of what the provision of ORS 743.556 is. It's difficult for me to follow without knowing what it says.
Madam Chair, Representative Cohen, it is the mental health parity provision. It is a lengthy section of the...
This is what's of interest to us.
Section 8, right.
If you look at Section 8 on page 3 of the bill.
Okay, page 3.
Thank you.
Of the bill.
But this is, so, Madam Chair, if the discussion, if I understand, this is clarifying and confirming Section 8 of the bill.
Madam Chair, this is Betsy Earls again. This would make the licensed professional counselor payment provisions of 2687 subject to the same management provisions of the mental health parity law that all other professions are subject to.
Is that clear? Representative
Cowan?
Sure.
Okay, so what this says in Section 8 is nothing in this section prohibits a group health insurer, such as Kaiser, from managing the provision benefits through common methods, including but not limited to selectively contracted panels, which is what Ms. Earls has been talking about, health plan benefit differential designs, free admission screening, prior authorization, utilization review, other mechanisms designed to limit eligible expenses to those described in subsection 3.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I was reading Section 8. That's paragraph 8 on page 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's actually there?
Yes, Gibson Cote.
Thank you, madam. I guess my question is for the original drafters of the bill. Because
Representative Cowan is through yet.
I totally yield.
Yes. Representative Cowan, were you through with that?
I'm through.
Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the terminology in the industry is any willing provider. And that this bill clarifies that we're not talking about any willing provider, that we allow for contracting with providers, thus really protecting the consumer and the insurance industry from overcharging, but yet it's acceptable to usually most providers in the state, and they understand that.
Yes. May I answer, Madam Chair?
No.
Okay.
I think you're asking that of either Betsy or Representative Buckley?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair and Representative Maurer, you're asking about what if the Dash 3s do that, and the answer is yes. That's exactly what we do with these. Thanks.
Representative Buckley?
Madam Chair, Representative Maurer, that is correct. This is not intended to be an any willing provider bill.
Okay. Now, sir, you may be.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to clarify. I had given, and hopefully they've been handed to all of you, there's some more clarification on the distinctions between an any willing provider bill and what a general vendorship bill would be. There are 20 states that have general vendorship bills as opposed to only 3 that have any willing provider. This bill, as is stated on this sheet, is exactly the mental health parity law as it stands now. It is not meant to be an any willing provider bill where the insurance company would need to cover every single LPC and every single LMFT, every single social worker, et cetera. This would only make an entire group of psychotherapists not be discriminated against. And so the insurance companies would still have, it's a wonderful compromise, I think, it would still have control of their panels, as has just been elucidated by you, Representative Maurer, still have control over who is going to be on their panel. They just can't discriminate against an entire group, as they're not allowed to discriminate against 4 of the 6 psychotherapy groups who are licensed and regulated in Oregon presently.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any further questions, Representative Maurer?
Okay.
Okay, Representative Cote.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And after that discussion, I like these amendments because the language in the original bill that talks about computing how much, this is better.
Okay.
That's all I need to say.
Anything further? All right. Any further clarification? Are we okay with the Dash 3 amendment? So we're not going to do anything with the Dash 2s. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'd like to do is move the Dash 3s. Are we okay there?
And the Dash 1.
Dash 1.
And the Dash 1, absolutely. Thank you. Yes. All right. Thank you very much, panel. Appreciate
that. Thank you.
Thank
you.
All right. Do we need to call anybody?
Is that called?
That's okay. Oh, thank you.
Madam Chair, could I have a final question for Representative Buckley? Representative Buckley?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I meant to ask this. Since you are adding some activities to the board, have they seen the amendments?
Yes, Madam Chair, Representative Kotek, yes, we have been in consultation with the board.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, I move then that we adopt the dash one amendments and dash three amendments
can
to.
Can we do that? Can we move two at once?
Let's do one. Yeah, okay, well, all right. Then I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 2687.
Representative Olson moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2687. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. And,
Madam Chair, I move then the dash three amendments to House Bill 2687.
Representative Olson moves the dash three amendments to House Bill 2687. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right.
Okay, well then, Madam Chair, I would move House Bill 2687 with the due pass recommendation to the floor as amended.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 2687 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Susan, would you call the roll?
Mr. Cowan?
Aye.
Mr. Filter?
Aye.
Mr. Gilliam?
Oh. Aye.
Representative
Kotek?
Aye.
Representative Nauer?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Yes.
Chair Tomei?
Aye. House Bill 2687 is amended, has been passed. And we close the work session on House Bill 2887. Representative Bussey, would you carry this bill for us on the floor? Thank you. Good job, everybody. Good job. Great. And to Betsy Earls, is she still here? Good, I was glad.
Like when those things are
yeah, it did. It got really long.
Well, great place.
This is a health care reform bill.
Okay.
We're just curious about this.
Oh.
They reviewed the
Okay.
Madam Chair, I just have a question, if I could, please. If there's a fiscal impact, but there are fees attached, does it have to go for review anywhere?
I don't know. Let's ask Andy.
Oh, because of that. Well, I was thinking that might get resolved on the floor between here and then. If it looks like we need to, then we can do the referral.
I wasn't asking for that. I was just trying to make
sure. It's the fee.
Didn't the fee change? That's what you were talking about, was the fee is being raised. Mm. Andy, the fee will be raised in this. So do we need it to send it to Ways and Means?
Didn't have a problem.
Okay. Works for me.
I'm guessing it'll get flagged if it has to. Yeah.
It'll get mentioned.
Okay, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2687 and open up the work session on House Bill 3067. Andy.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 3067 is a measure that would require the use of annual population data. It's not a, just for the record, it's not a straight annual population data formula, but it does use that in the formula for allocations of certain funds to counties. There are amendments to the bill, a dash three amendment, which would insert an emergency clause, a dash four amendment, which would require the use of the annual formula rather than an annual allocation requirement. So the formula would have to be developed annually, but the allocation would not have to happen annually. I'm sure there was originally a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. That referral has been rescinded by the Speaker's office.
Okay. Karen Wheeler, please.
Good morning, Chair Tomei. For the record, my name is Karen Wheeler, and I'm the Addictions Policy Manager for the Addictions Mental Health Division, Department of Human Services. I'm here today to represent Bob Nickel, my boss.
Welcome.
And I'm here to support the dash three and the dash four amendments to this bill.
Okay, could you talk about the two amendments, please, and why your department is supportive of them?
Following up, I listened to Bob's testimony last night at home. Following up on his testimony, last time he was here, the, as I understand, the Dash 4 amendments require us to use population in the formula that we have designed for allocating money to counties for these certain service elements for mental health and addictions. And so that's what we support, rather than changing the allocation each year.
So to reiterate, your department supports line amendments 3 and 4 both. Is that correct?
That is correct, Chair.
All right. Any questions of this? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, Representative Gelser.
Madam Chair, I would move the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3067.
Representative Gelser moves the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3067. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Representative Gelser.
Madam Chair, I'd move the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 3067.
Representative Gelser moves the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 3067. Any discussion? All in favor say yes. Representative Collins.
If I could just put a comment. I think it applies most appropriately to these, to the Dash 4 amendments. I had some questions about the bill in general, and mostly it was impacts on other counties who might be considered the high growth counties. And because mine is among those that might be considered, I went back to folks at home. And I would just like to let you know that the conversation was as essentially around that the impact on slower growth counties in reality might be limited somewhat, but basically 50% of nothing is nothing. And it sort of gets to the issue of inadequate revenues for these services anyway, and that fundamentally they do support efforts to create a more equitable funding formula. And so for that reason, I will be supporting it. But because I had kind of raised some issues earlier, I thought maybe I should get that on the record.
Thank you, Representative Cowan. Any further discussion? Representative Cochran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we're discussing the Dash 4s?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that I want to make sure that we put onto the record is the discussion we had about how the formula is going to be put together. And there were some principles that I don't know if everyone on the committee received them, but I received from Bob Nickel the proposed A&D funding equity principles dated August 31st, 2005, and then a memo that he had prepared for Dr. Goldberg from February of 06, talking about the types of things that we would see in this formula. And since we don't ask for any kind of rulemaking process around the formula, I think it's important to put into intent of the law that we're talking about base funding in the formula for the smaller counties so they have the resources they need. We're talking about looking at prevalence and population factors, timing and implementation, and shared accountability and outcomes, and I'd be happy to submit this into the record.
I think we all have that.
Did we all get this? Good.
No,
I think it's just important. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, it might have gone somewhere. It took me a while. This went somewhere else on my desk, and then it came back to the bill file. But I think it's just important clarifying that that's the intent of the formula. You know, this gets to kind of the very broad generalities of how we're going to calculate it. But I think the base funding issue in particular is very important for the smaller counties. And that's the assumption, but I just want to get that on the record.
Thank you, Representative Cotec. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor say aye of moving the Dash 4 amendments. Say aye. It is 4, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Susan Collins. Oh. Thank you, Representative Gelser.
Madam Chair, I would move that House Bill 3067. Do I have to make a motion about rescinding the Ways and Means?
No,
because he's already done. Okay. I would move House Bill 3067 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Gelser moves that House Bill 3067 as amended be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. All in favor? Yes.
Oh, can I make a comment really quickly along the same line? I had some questions the other week, too, and before I even had the opportunity to call my mental health director, he contacted me to let me know that Benton County would be fine with this proposal. And I think that it really goes to that overall concern about inadequate funding for these services altogether, and right. the 50% of nothing is nothing, and it's my my ongoing frustration that we are grossly underfunding and under-supporting these services, and we're seeing the impact of that in all sorts of other areas of our budget, and we really need to find ways to make better investments in these programs for this population. And, yeah. So.
Thank you, Representative Kelser. Any further discussion? All right. Susan, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Kelser.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam.
Absent.
Representative
Kotek.
Aye.
Representative Mallon.
Aye.
Representative Olson.
Yes.
House Bill 3067, having received the required majority, passes. And
I'd be happy to carry it, Madam Chair.
I know. Pardon?
I'll carry it. If you want.
I was thinking maybe I'd ask maybe Representative Mallory to carry it.
Oh, that's okay? Fine. Ron does a great job.
Yeah. Want to carry this?
I'll carry it all the way to Southern Oregon if need be.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Representative Mallard. All right. I'll close the work session on House Bill 3067. Any other business? As you may have noted, we'll be having floor session at 10 o'clock every day next week. So we will still have our meeting at 8:30 on Monday, and we may have to have it earlier on other days, but at least on Mondays it will be at 8:30.
You can do it, Chair. You can do it if we
no,
have
I
to.
Can't. No, I can't. Maybe on other days, not Mondays.
Well, Madam Chair, and I just want to forewarn folks that I am getting the amendments for 2469, the TANF bill, probably in another hour, and I'll be chasing you all down with them this morning sometime.
And we will be having a hearing on that Monday, right?
On Monday, yes.
Okay, and then the following Friday, probably we'll try to pass it on Friday.
That's the plan. Have looked through the official amendments Monday and then give people some time. And then if we have to make any changes, then have a final bunch for Friday.
Yeah. Right. Good.
Have you seen those amendments yet?
They look a little complicated. We had a few tweaks, so they're coming back. But
are they very carefully... close to what you explained in your excellent summary.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm happy with them. I think the language is good.
Good. So. I understood that one.
Okay, good. But you know how amendments read. They're not, you know, you're going to have to compare everything, but I think they're well done. So, yeah.
Good job, Representative.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All right. I close the meetings on the Health Committee on Human Services and Women's Wellness. Thank you. Was there something you were waiting to talk about?
She didn't hear the dash threes came, you know, and then the fours.
Okay.
Was that your?
All right.
We moved pretty quickly. We did the threes real fast and then the fours. Was that?
Yep. That's it. Great.